COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. While I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you two are daft for Donald or mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or currently planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know the difference between eyeliner and the skyliner. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week's superfan Kyle loves a certain thing so much that he went to Walt Disney World for the weekend on his own just to see it.
Americans were blown away when I said, like, I'm here for 50 hours from the UK. They were like, are you actually crazy?
More from Kyle on this week's podcast, also answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and if you're heading over to Orlando soon, everything you need to know to have the best time. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just give us a follow, at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Don't forget, if you've got any questions, whether it comes to planning or maybe it's a last minute thing going, oh, we're going to Walt Disney World and I've not done this and I don't know how to do this, send them over. Do our best to answer them every week on the podcast. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Thanks to Emily, who sent me a message over on Instagram, and I've had a lot of messages like this. Emily's planning to go for 30th next year on a budget. What's the best way to cut costs? How can I do it on the cheap, basically? What is the cheapest way of going to Walt Disney World? I would say this from the start. Before you start shopping around and looking at prices, just don't go online and go, right, okay, 2 weeks, Grand Floridian, flying over with Virgin. Let's see how much that will cost. Then you go, oh, I can't afford that. And then you just shut it all down. Before you start looking, set yourself a budget. How much have you saved? How much can you afford? Be realistic. Don't put yourself into debt just for going. Set yourself a budget, know your budget, and then look. Obviously, the cheapest time of year to go is out of school holidays. If you have to go in school holidays, that makes it a little bit difficult. And then if you are going when it's school holidays, obviously Easter and Christmas are going to be even more expensive. So maybe you want to look at the half terms. But if you can go out of school holidays, obviously that's going to save you a lot of money. Again, accommodation. You get what you pay for. If you want to stay at a deluxe, if you can afford it, and stay at the Grand Floridian, then yeah, go ahead. If you can't afford that, check out the moderates, Caribbean Beach, where you've got the Skyliner that takes you to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. If that's still too much, look at the value resorts, like the Pop Century resorts. If that's still too expensive, I would say the next thing to look at is some of the Disney Springs resorts. So these are literally on the doorstep to Disney Springs. It's like a bridge you get over that takes you into Disney Springs. You don't get the free transportation to take you to the parks, but some of those hotels will put on a shuttle bus, one or two a day. And also some of those hotels are Walt Disney World affiliate hotels. So check this out before you book, because they may also still offer you the 60-day fast pass window, which is great. So you won't get the magic bands and things like that, but there are still certain perks at some of the Disney Springs hotels. If that's still too expensive, check out International Drive. Have a look for hotels that do offer free shuttles from the hotel to Disney and Universal. This is what I did the first time I ever went. We were on a budget. I couldn't afford to stay at Walt Disney World. We stayed. We had 10 days on International Drive, and we just had 4 days in the parks. We had one day in each of the parks, one in four Disney parks, and a couple at Universal. The hotel was on International Drive, near enough to walk to Universal, and it had a shuttle bus that took us to Disney. There was only a couple of shuttle buses a day, and it didn't get us there for rope drop, and we had to run as soon as the fireworks finished. But if you really want to go and you're on a budget, look at that. Obviously, getting the tickets when you only want to do one day in each park is a little bit trickier. But, you know, ask yourself, do you need that 7-day ticket or that 14-day ticket? Have a look at packages, see how much packages are going to cost. Have a look at hotel flight combinations. When it comes to flights, if you want to save money, do you have to have a direct flight? You know, if you've got little kids, then direct flight is probably better. But if you don't have kids and you can fly indirect and get a connecting flight, that could save you a lot of money. Shop around for flights. Sometimes a flight for, say, Virgin could be slightly cheaper if you book it via Delta, and actually you'll end up on the same plane. Set a budget, shop around, and don't go without your limits. But don't look at things and be put off by the price straight away. Know your budget. That is the only question we have got time for in this week's podcast. But if you do have any questions, do send them over. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PodMagical is where we are. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, maybe you've got some recommendations and some tips. You've done Disney on the cheap. How have you saved money? Let me know. We'd love to have a chat with you on the podcast, like this week's guest, Kyle. So, Kyle, why do you love Walt Disney World?
Oh, I love Walt Disney World because it just completely overwhelms you. Everything's so detailed and so thorough whenever you're there. I don't see why anyone wouldn't enjoy it. I particularly love the Imagineering and the detail that even the streets are in. And as you walk down Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, looking at the windows and the smaller windows at the top and every last bit of detail, it just totally overwhelms everything you do. And love being on property.
I believe that even when you're at work, you've got a group of friends who are also Walt Disney World obsessed as well. So you've got your own little clique.
Yes, definitely. We're always talking about Walt Disney World. So we normally meet around, and if we're all together, we can be there for at least half an hour. And we're like, right, let's get the work done now. Let's get back.
You better do a bit of work now.
Well, we always get the work done.
So when was the first time you went? What got you into going?
I first went when I was 6 years old. We went with my mum and my dad and some of their friends. We never really looked at going to Walt Disney World, and back then it wasn't a big destination on the map for everyone, especially locally to us. So it was kind of a off the cuff, let's go. And ever since then, we've absolutely loved it.
And when was the last time you went?
I last went back in September. So I actually went for the last Illumination show. The 30th of September, and I flew out that morning, did the last Illuminations, and then watched the first Epcot Forever, and then flew back home on the Wednesday.
So it was there. That is a flying visit and half, isn't it? So how many nights was that?
That was two nights, 50 hours in the US in total.
Wow. So I suppose you never even got a chance to get jet lag because you just stayed in that time zone, or did you just not sleep for 2 hours?
Like, sleep when you can, go when you're awake. And I was jet lagged for about a week once I came back. I was absolutely no help to anyone.
Jet lagged or just knackered?
Yes, that was definitely the one.
So what was it like being at the last Illuminations? Because obviously I was like 20 odd years that was the big finale of the night at Epcot. So it's got a lot of emotion for a lot of people, a lot of emotional attachments. What was the atmosphere like that night?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I get goosebumps when I think about it. As I was walking around Epcot, I landed about 3:30 that afternoon, and by 7 o'clock I was already in Epcot, rushing around like a lunatic trying to get my fast passes in. Made sure I got on Spaceship Earth before that closes, and then got in my position. But I was talking to loads of people, and there was one couple that actually live close to Disney, and they were telling me how they came to the first Illumination show together, and then they'd come back for the last one, and it absolutely melted my heart.
Oh, wow.
It was truly incredible. It was so funny, though, just before Illumination started at 9, about 5:50, the heavens opened.
Yeah, everyone, I was watching it on YouTube. Yeah, it was a bit of a wet night.
Oh, everyone had been stood in position for hours. I'd been stood in mine for about an hour and a half. And it was just, the heavens opened, no one moved. No one dare move.
Yeah.
People were putting their umbrellas up, and as the show started, everyone was shouting, put your umbrella down. So it was so funny. It was a brilliant night.
And what about the new one? Well, the temporary one, Epcot Forever. What do you think of that?
Oh, I absolutely love it. It starts with one little spark, and it's incredible. The kites scene, when the kites are going around the World Showcase Lagoon, that is just incredible. I can't get over how the technology works on that. And then when the firework trail goes off at the end and they've got fireworks coming out of the kites. Absolutely.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what the new one's like, Harmonious.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I think that's going to be absolutely incredible. The hype for it is so good and so big.
Yeah, so, well, all the floats and things that they installed recently into the lagoon look like it's going to be massive.
Yes. And the concept art is incredible. The concept art's currently my screensaver on every device I own because I can't wait for it.
Right, you really are obsessed, aren't you, Kyle?
Yes, I am.
So what is your all-time favourite memory from Walt Disney World? Was it that night at Epcot or has there been something else?
That night at Epcot is very much up there. I really struggled with this. I think my favourite memory is we went in the January after I'd turned 21 with my mum and dad and my youngest niece and nephew. They were 12 and 9 at the time. And the favourite memory I have is as we turned onto Main Street on the very first day, they're not huge Disney fans, but their faces lit up. And it was incredible. Goosebumps all over my body. Little tear rolled down my face because I'm a huge family man. And for them to enjoy that as much as I did when I was a kid,
yeah,
it brought back so many emotions.
And that was their first time?
Yes, their first time.
Yeah. We've said this on the podcast before. I think the next best thing to your first time at Walt Disney World is taking somebody.
Definitely.
For their first time and just sharing those experiences.
Definitely. Like, to share the experiences are always better when you go with people that haven't been, because everything they do is totally new and everything that Disney World has to offer is totally. So you know what's coming. You're expecting their reaction and you just stand there waiting with anticipation. Like,
so have you got a favourite attraction then? Or it could be a parade or it could be a show, or it could be a ride?
Definitely, 100%, without any doubt, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room.
Right. Now, that has never been said before. You are going traditional old school for this.
Old school.
Why that attraction? Why the Tiki Room?
I don't really know. I think it's the birds, the flowers, the whole music within the room, the waiting while you're waiting to queue and the doors open and you've got the two parrots in there, or the two birds, sorry, and there's the waterfall. It just is such a great experience when you're in there. It's so much fun. Everyone's singing along. Even if you don't know the words, by the end, you will know the words.
You will. And it's one of Walt's original attractions.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that it was supposed to be a restaurant and turned into a full attraction, I enjoyed that element. Like, Walt created this for people. So I'm now enjoying it, what is it, years and years on, and still loving every second of it. Not many people like it, though. So when I heard that they're potentially looking at changing it into a Moana, that was one of the rumours, should we say. I was a bit like, but what are they doing about my tiki room?
Yeah, you're going to eventually go down and protest.
Yeah, so I'll like chain myself to the barriers, like, no, you can't do it.
Have you ever done the Keys to the Kingdom tour?
No, not yet.
No, I think you really like that. I think you'd really like that.
It's certainly on my list.
Yeah.
So me and my best friend, we're looking and planning our next few trips at the moment. And we're like,
okay,
that's certainly one for me to do because she doesn't want to spoil the magic. And I'm like, just tell me how everything works.
Yeah, well, I don't think it does spoil the magic. Having done it, I think if you've been a few times, you don't want to do it on your first few visits, but if you've been a few times, like we have, then I think it makes you just appreciate it even more. Yeah, definitely put it on your list.
Certainly on the list already.
What about favourite restaurants, favourite places to eat? Can be quick service, can be sit down, could be in the parks, could be in a resort, could be at Springs.
Traditionally, when we go with the family, we don't tend to eat in the parks that often. We normally eat on International Drive, Lake Buena Vista, places like Golden Corral. But in the parks, when I went in September, October, I ate at Tokyo Dining. I managed to get a last minute reservation there. That was an incredible experience, especially with it being managed and run by the Cultural Representative Program.
Yeah.
Speaking with people from the host nation, I really enjoyed that. I was on my own solo trip, so I got talking to the cast members and listening to their stories of what they've done while they've been over there and what it's like back home for them was really good. I really enjoyed that.
I think that's one of my favourite things about Epcot is just chatting to the cast members there. We'll chat some more, Kyle, soon, and I want to find out what it's like going to Walt Disney World on your own. Taking a look at the latest news to come from Walt Disney World, you might have seen this big story that broke a few days ago. Cinderella Castle is getting a lick of paint. It's getting a golden makeover. Now, they're saying that this is to celebrate the anniversary of the animated movie Cinderella. However, the anniversary of the original release, the very first release of the film, was earlier last week. So I think this is just the start of the 50th celebrations. I mean, why would they go for gold? The entire castle isn't being painted gold. It's kind of like more of a gold trim around the turrets and around the top of the castle. The fireworks at Night Happily Ever After and the castle shows, they will still go on. So I think the whole makeover of the castle isn't going to be a big upheaval. I think a lot of it is going to be done at night, kind of like they do when they get the cherry picker out at night to put the Christmas lights on and take them off. So you might see the cherry picker at the back. There might be a little bit of scaffolding over some of the castle at times, but I don't think it's going to be a major upheaval. I think next year, I think there's going to be more additions to the castle. So it'll have a lick of gold paint in places this year, and then next year for the 50th, I think a slightly bigger makeover. I think this is just the groundwork. It's going to look great, and hopefully your pictures will still be good as well if you're going over the next couple of months, because that work has already started. They've already started draining the castle moat and things like that. Other news from the parks. Do you want to go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party? Do you want to get your tickets? Well, tickets are actually on sale now, which is really late, because last year, tickets went on sale for Halloween on the 15th of January last year. Tickets are now on sale. The first Halloween party at Magic Kingdom will be Thursday the 13th of August, and then there's about two or three a week right through to Halloween. If you're not planning on going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, it's just worth taking a look at those dates if you're going to be at Walt Disney World, because obviously on those nights, there will be no Happily Ever After fireworks, and the park's going to close at like 6 or 7 o'clock, so well worth checking out. There's a link for that over on our Twitter, at PodMagical, which is where we'll keep you updated on any news that comes in between now and next podcast. Chatting to Kyle this week, we found out that he's a big fan of Illuminations at Epcot. So he went to Walt Disney World just for a couple of days on his own. Now, I want to know, Kyle, going to Walt Disney World on your own as a solo traveller, what's it like?
Incredible. I always had someone to talk to because I'm very confident and I'll talk to anybody. And Americans were blown away when I said, like, I'm here for 50 hours from the UK. They were like, are you actually crazy? Like, yes, I am. Always good to talk to people. Like, you don't know, you meet so many new people.
Yeah, even if you're with people, even if you go with family and friends, you still end up just talking to other people anyway.
Oh, definitely.
So where do you like to stay?
Favourite place, we stayed at Blue Tree Resort in Lake Buena Vista. I've never actually stayed on property, but yeah, we are on my next trip. But we stayed at Blue Tree Resort when we took my niece and nephew. And that was brilliant because we each had our own space in our own rooms. There was a kitchen there, a full lounge. So we could kind of chill in the morning if we wanted to, come back, play some games and do what we wanted when we wanted. Because my mum and dad don't want to spend all day in the parks now. They're not getting any younger, should we say.
Yeah. Lake Buena Vista is pretty near Disney Springs, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much on the doorstep to Disney Springs.
Yeah, you don't even have to go on to the I-4 to get there. You literally go through round the corner and you're straight into Disney Springs. It's really easy to get to. But we don't actually spend that much time in Disney Springs normally. We're normally in the parks. And at the place that we don't discuss on this podcast, Universal.
We can discuss the other place if you want.
Oh, we'll do that
later. Let's discuss the other place. Let's talk about other things outside Walt Disney World that you like to do.
Obviously Universal. Yeah. Obviously Universal. The Harry Potter world up there, Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley, is incredible.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan, or do you just love the theming of it?
I love the theming of it. I've only ever seen all the films once. I've not watched them over and over again like many other people, and I only watched them about a year ago. I was like, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but
is that because you were going to university? You thought, I better watch some of these Harry Potter films, see what all this is about.
Well, I think so, if I'm honest with you. I didn't think about that before, but I was like, when I look back, I think they're not normally my type of thing, but I did really enjoy them, and I'm pleased I did, because everything made sense when I went there. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I've got to watch all the Star Wars before we go to Batuu. So I know what I'm looking at and what everything means.
Anything else in Orlando besides the Universal Parks?
The Fun Spot theme parks, the little theme parks that they have in Kissimmee in Orlando.
Yeah, they're worth a stop, are they?
They are certainly worth a stop if you are an adrenaline junkie.
Right.
I'm a big adrenaline junkie. I love big rides, and they have the world's largest, and then in Kissimmee, the world's tallest sky coasters, which are like a huge sky swing that you harness into. And the one I did in Orlando is 250 feet in the air.
No, you're all right. I'm out. that's not for me.
It's a brilliant experience. You pull your own cord to let yourself go, and you are free falling. Your harness falls away from you. You are free falling towards the ground. And then you just catch in the harness and you just float. Oh, it's brilliant. I recommend doing it. I really do.
Right. Now I'll stick to Tower of Terror if you don't mind.
That's your limit.
So what's your planning strategy? Have you got any good tips when it comes to planning or things like that?
In terms of planning, for when I went in September, it was plan everything to the minute. I knew what time I was going to land, roughly. Obviously, never know about a delay. I knew how long it took me to get to the airport. I knew how long it took me to get my car from the Alamo desk. And time as much as you can if you're going for a short period of time. With bigger trips, be flexible with what you want to do. Don't stick to your plan fully, because you will always plan more than what you're actually going to want to do. And you don't want to come back absolutely shattered from what you've done on holiday. You do want to get a little bit of respite. So a morning chill by the pool works. An evening chill in the room works if you've got things to do, because you are still there on holiday. So you want to make sure you get everything done that you can.
Yeah. Where do you tend to fly from and into and who with?
Normally fly from Manchester or Gatwick. Prefer Manchester because it's only 2 hours from home. Gatwick's three. I would normally fly with Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah.
However, I have flown with Norwegian Air from Gatwick, and they were really cheap and really good. When I landed back from in October, I actually landed back at 7 o'clock and was back in work by 1 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
So I was straight back to work. I paid for an upgrade on Norwegian's cabin, which was actually operated by a company called HiFly. They do a wet lease. So I got a business class cabin for premium economy price. I think it was about £500 for a premium economy flight back. But going out, it only cost me $150. Or £150, sorry. Talking Disney, you work in dollars.
So that's not too bad then, really, is it? And Norwegian were pretty good.
Norwegian were brilliant. The service was very good. The food was not the best I've ever had, but I'm not bothered about the plain food. I'm bothered about getting there, getting home, because no one likes coming home.
No. Trying to sleep on the way back, if you can.
Yes. Well, I managed to get plenty of sleep because it was a lie-flat bed, which was a lifesaver for when I got back to work.
Especially if you're back to work. Were you feeling quite fresh after that then, the fact that you got a good lie down?
Fresh is a strong word. Awake is the word that I would use. I was awake. Whether I was functioning properly or not is a strong question. And I know my colleagues at work were like, we knew you were crazy to go to Disney for 50 hours, yet you are even crazier coming back to work having landed 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours ago.
What else did you do in your 50 hours? So obviously the first night was Epcot and the second night was Epcot. What did you do in between?
I had a morning in Magic Kingdom. So the morning that it was morning of the 1st of October, I had the morning in Magic Kingdom up until the Festival of Fantasies parade at 2. And then I went over to the Grand Floridian for a bit of a relax, listened to the piano and the band in the lobby there, which was nice just to recharge the batteries, ready to go back to Epcot. But it was a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party on the 1st in Magic Kingdom. So the morning was so quiet, it was unreal.
People tend not to go to Magic Kingdom when there's a day that there's a party on, either Christmas or Halloween. People just tend to avoid it for the whole day because they think, well, we're going to have to leave early.
I certainly recommend that everyone, if you're not at the Mickey's Not So Scary that evening, go into Magic Kingdom that morning, go for rope drop. I got straight on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. which I'd not got a fast pass for. I then went straight home to It's a Small World, over to Jungle Cruise. As I was walking over to Jungle Cruise, Mary Poppins popped out as I was walking through Liberty Square. And I got a quick video with Mary Poppins while we were both walking. And it was straight onto Pirates of the Caribbean. And I got so much done being on my own and the park being so quiet. It was really good because you got loads done. So I really recommend anyone does that.
Now, you mentioned you've got a couple of trips in the pipeline.
Yes.
Tell me about those.
We're going in August. We're going for 15 nights. We're seeing All-Star Movies on the first night and then Coronado Springs for the rest of the holiday. It actually worked out cheaper to go a night earlier.
So, yeah, sometimes it can, which is really, really strange.
Because of the flight.
Cheaper to go longer.
Yeah, so I'm actually flying with British Airways from Gatwick that time. So,
yeah.
Although I'd normally fly with Virgin and then Norwegian second, British Airways had got a brilliant deal. So me and my friend are flying out. I'm going with her and her family. They're coming out the day after. So we've got that one planned for August. And then we're looking at doing New Year 2021 to 2022.
Oh, right.
So bit of a gap between going, but we're hoping to get potentially a few other Disney parks in, probably do a Disneyland Paris trip.
Yeah,
and I
pop
might,
over to Paris.
And I might try and get a trip to Hong Kong or Shanghai. You never know. Or just go to Disney World on my own.
Yeah, just go on your own.
That works.
Just go for the weekend again.
Why not?
Just a quick city break. People go to New York for a city break. Why not Walt Disney World?
Well, exactly. It's only another 2 hours on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. That's nothing, is it?
Nothing.
You sat down watching a film?
Exactly. You get another film in.
Yeah. Kyle, fantastic to talk to you.
No, thank you for having me.
And have a magical day.
You too.
Heading over to Orlando this weekend. Maybe you're in the airport now. Maybe you're listening to this podcast on the plane. Weather's not too bad. It's quite cool. The temperature seems to have dipped a little bit. This weekend in Walt Disney World will be busier than usual weekend because there's the Princess's Half Marathon. I know there's always marathons going on at this time of year. Over at Universal, you've got the Mardi Gras celebrations, including a live performance Saturday, February the 22nd from Kool and the Gang. Next weekend, the 29th. TLC. The following weekend, 7th of March, they've got REO Speedwagon performing. It's the last week this week of the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. That finishes on the 24th of February. Then in a couple of weeks, early March, that's when the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival starts. And of course, over at Hollywood Studios, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is coming March the 4th. That will be opening. You can get fast passes for that, by the way, if you want to get on there. Andy's top tip of the week this week is a tip to get you free parking at Walt Disney World. Yeah, you can get free parking. If you're a DVC member or you're an annual pass holder, you get free parking. It is worth, actually, if you go to Walt Disney World quite a lot, it is possibly worth one person in the group getting an annual pass. Because obviously you get free parking. So if you drive all the time and you're going to be using that, then you'll save money there. If you get a lot of merchandise, you save 20% on merchandise, save 10% in some of the restaurants as well. So it may be looking at, if you go to Walt Disney World quite a lot, maybe have a look at that annual pass. You can upgrade it. So if you've got the normal 14-day Disney ticket, when you're in the parks, you decided you want to upgrade that to an annual pass. If you want to use it for free parking, do that at the beginning of your trip, obviously, because you'd be getting free parking for the whole of the trip. If you've ever done that, by the way, do let me know. Make sure you give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical, which is where we are. We'll keep you updated with all the latest news going on from the parks. Tag us in your pictures if you're going on there. And don't forget, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you have subscribe to the podcast, because we have a new episode coming out every Friday and we wouldn't want you to miss it. And also on Apple Podcasts as well, if you give us a lovely 5-star review, leave a comment, let us know who you are, where you're listening, your favourite rides, attractions, restaurants. We'd love those 5-star comments. Thank you very much. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.